Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
The Survivor Specialist, Phil and Will, are back, and we have crowned a champion for Survivor 47. This is our finale recap. Rachel takes it home in a landslide victory, although that final immunity or that final tribal council actually looked like it was going to be pretty close. Will, I know you got a lot to say, but I need to go back to the start here because I had McKenna pull this for all of us. So I hope you can all hear this. Let's just sit here and watch and have this play, and hopefully everybody can hear what's about to be said.
Is the person of the minute TikTok where I was like, yeesh. I'm not rooting for her.
Why?
But she just was no energy in that thing. And I was like, it's only 10, it's only 4 seconds.
Oh, she was
like,
high energy in her other video. I would say she
like, you got to watch that TikTok. Oh my God. This isn't me. I don't love Rachel so far.
Wow.
She said she's a graphic designer. It says UI interface. I'm trying to explain that to six other people when you're trying to relate to them at a merge. They're going to go, oh, never mind. I'm never asking you anything about your family ever again. You got to pick one or two people to root against if you're really watching Survivor. I'm down to see Rachel not get that far just based on the seven things I know. Oh, your husband watches the show? Like, why didn't he apply? Was he not good? What's that dynamic like? Also, 34, I'm starting to realize as I get older, yes, St. Cliffo, this is what I do, baby. There, well, I work in casting. Like I don't know if everybody needs to hear that every time. But on Saturday, if I win an Emmy, I'm going to say I'm an award-winning casting person.
And you get an Emmy, right?
I get a certificate, maybe. But like, what's interesting is as I get older, I really relate to people that are my exact age because I can like that is a major defining thing for me that I don't think I really cared about growing up of watching this when I was 22, watching this when I was 28. But really over the last couple years, when somebody's my age, I'm 34, it is something where I relate to them and whatever. So maybe I will come back around on Rachel, but currently I do not think she's going to make the merge based on the stuff I know.
Thank you, Blake. All right. I needed to put that up there, Will. We were talking about it all season. Blake, for some reason in the casting assessment, just decided that Rachel was who he's going to run over with the truck and just keep on running her over. It's all right there. I mean, how beautiful was that?
It's great stuff. It's great stuff, Phil. We love to see that. I mean, this was Blake's first, his first or second season really getting involved. I mean, it's his first year really getting involved with the podcast. I know he'd done a few things before, but that was like, was that his first cast assessment? And to just come out hot and be completely wrong. I mean, that's what it's about. That's what being a specialist is about. That's what Survivor podcasting is about. My winner pick was TK. So, I mean, I can't really sit here and make fun of Blake. That's part of the fun. You know, you get your, you know, your cold takes exposed or whatever.
Mm-hmm. What's funny is I actually do have the clip. McKenna also sent me the clip without me asking of us making our winner picks. And I mean, that makes you and me wrong. So I don't think we really need to show that one. I mean, Blake's not here to defend himself. That's what we're doing here, right?
Sure. Yeah. I don't need to see that. I just owned it up. I owned it up for myself already without even being prompted.
And I had Tiana. She just got screwed because Saul had to save the eventual winner of the season. Really, Saul should have saved Tiana and Rachel wouldn't be the winner. But all right, being serious, we got a bunch to jump into here. Rachel wins her fourth immunity challenge, tying her for the most by a woman in Survivor history. She goes out there. She gives a pretty solid final tribal council performance, although I got to give a lot of props to Sam, and I even have to give some props to Sue. We saw an epic fire-making challenge between Teeny and Sam. A lot to break down here, Will. So, I mean, I guess we should just start off. We both saw Rachel coming for a little bit. I think for you, you said Andy a little bit, and then you finally jumped in and you said, okay, this is starting to look like Rachel. How did you feel about the way that this all shook out tonight? And are you satisfied with what just took place?
I think I'm as satisfied as you can be when going into a finale with just four people. We did our predictions. This was pretty well foreshadowed that Rachel would be our winner. We started talking about Rachel's like winning ranking and like her legacy as a winner, like on last week's recap pretty much. And I guess my biggest takeaway from this episode, because I do agree, Sam had quite a final tribal council and made some really good points, actually. I mean, getting voted for 10 times, voting correctly every single time, because we did distinguish that, I think, on our predictions episode that he, while he wasn't in on the Sierra vote, he lost his vote that round due to the auction. And so he technically voted correctly anytime. I don't know if someone called him on that in final tribal council, but he did have a few arguments, and you are sitting there like, wait, why is Rachel such a big threat? Like, why is Sam, why are we giving Sam no chance? Because he does have a pretty good story and he isn't articulating his game so well. In the end, too little, too late. He had a good tribal council performance. I don't think he had the game to overtake Rachel's threat level. I think that's really what it comes down to, that Rachel was established so early as a threat. The fact that she got to the end, it was like this story that was building in the juror's mind. I don't think the jury just came in, all right, tell me what you got for final tribal council. That's all I'm basing my vote on. I think it's, look, they've been there. They're playing the game. They're in the game. They're also watching the tribal councils once they've been voted off. And Rachel has done such a good job at establishing herself as a threatening power player. And she got to the end, and it's hard not to reward that. My question here for you, Phil, is where did we go wrong in that? And now when I say we, I don't mean me and you, we. I mean kind of like the show and maybe the overall vibe of this last episode was just like this is Rachel cakewalking to the end, when in reality it did seem like Sam at least put up a really good fight. And why weren't we heading into this with like, it should be a toss-up between Sam and Rachel? Why didn't we ever land there? I have a few thoughts, but I'd like to start that with you. Why, you know, there are so many seasons where you do get two people going head-to-head. You know, Kenzie Charlie last season is a good example. Why didn't it feel closer? And I know the vote was 7-1, but why didn't it feel like a real horse race here going into final tribal council?
I think because ultimately the story became Rachel's early in the post-merge, to the point where once Sierra went, all of a sudden everybody started pointing fingers at Rachel. Rachel and Genevieve were the threats. Rachel and Genevieve were the people to be scared of. Nobody was saying that about Sam. Nobody was saying, man, I can't go to the end with Sam. Nobody was really Sam wasn't on anybody's radar, and Sam had to play such an underdog game. And I think what ended up happening was when Operation Italy takes place, Genevieve and Andy kind of overshadowed Sam in that moment, especially Andy. And I think that Sam just was never able to own anything. I think Sam played a solid game. I think his final tribal council performance was outstanding. I think it really was one of the best. I think he brought up a lot of really good points about why he should win over Rachel, even though I don't necessarily agree with all of them. And we'll get into Andy just putting Mike Holloway and poor Ben out there for no reason. We'll talk about that. But I do feel like it came down to everybody could point at Rachel and say, well, you got this advantage and you won all these immunities and all that. But Rachel's social game was still better than Sam's was. And that so rarely happens. We were talking about it because we're doing Cook Islands for the Patreon. And we're talking about Ozzy's social game versus Yule's social game. It was clear that Yule's social game was better than Ozzy's. And we see that pretty often, right? Like Tom and Terry don't have the best social games. Colby didn't have the best social game. That's why he loses. But Rachel had the social game. And it's not that Sam's was bad. Rachel's was just better. And I think that's where, what was it going? What was Sam hanging his hat on at the end? He was hanging his hat on, don't vote for Rachel, vote for me. And let me discredit the things that she's done. When in reality, there was no reason to discredit the things that she's done. And I think the jury just came in knowing that and said, Sam, you can discredit Rachel, but where are you crediting yourself? You made some good points, but you don't own any of it. So that's my take on that. I don't know if that was a long-winded answer that said nothing, but that's how I feel.
Way too long of an answer, Phil. Come on.
I thought so.
I totally hear what you're saying. You know, it is funny that Andy brought up Ben and Mike Holloway basically as winners who basically are just immune at so many votes. You're just unable to get them out. And they're not regarded highly as winners. But guess what? They still won the game. Mm-hmm. And I do feel that while Rachel's game might not be highly ranked, where you're comparing her to other winners of other seasons, that's not the goal of the jury. That's not the goal of an individual Survivor season. And it might not be as satisfying for fans, or might not rank their games as high as others. But the person that's a threat and that gets to the end, and whether that's winning four challenges, getting safety without power, playing an idol where they are safe and cannot be voted out, like if that person gets there, they are going to win the game. And I mean, unless they're sitting next to somebody who has really done anything else, but I think what it really comes down to is that while Sam made some good arguments about being in the know and, you know, surviving, being scrappy, having 10 votes against him, when someone continues to win immunity or when someone plays an idol, it's basically them dictating where the votes are going.
Yep.
And yeah, Rachel got bamboozled a few times, but she came back out on top and was immune. And when she's immune, people are working with her. She's kind of in the know. She's in like the saying of who is going home. She has that control over the game. When she plays her idol, she basically gets to tell Sue, hey, vote Andy. I'm going to vote Andy. And she makes that decision on her own. And so I think while it doesn't feel like the best, most satisfying win, those players that get to the end in this way are always going to end up winning.
And my biggest takeaway is, like, I think Rachel's satisfying. I think Rachel's win was very impressive. I think it was a very solid win. I think I've always kind of viewed it that way, though. I don't knock people for just playing a physical game. I personally think Mike Holloway, like when Andy threw that out there and said, I know you guys are super fans and you wouldn't rank them high. I mean, yeah, you're trying to appease the jury. But if somebody says that to me while I'm sitting there about to pitch, I'd be like, honestly, I think I'd love to win the game like Mike and Ben. Like, my money is just as green as Tina Wesson's. It doesn't matter. It's a little bit less green because hers was worth a little bit more in 2001. But still, it's like, I don't care how I win it. I just want to win it. And I think that too much is placed on what did you do that was so perfect? Nobody who won this season was going to be perfect. And honestly, Kenzie wasn't a perfect winner either. I would say the only perfect winner of the new era is D. I don't think anybody else even comes close. Jam Jam's like towing the line, but I think it's D. And I think the whole thing is when you sit down and you watch what Rachel was able to do, did she have to win immunities? Yeah, she did, but she won them. I'm not going to knock her for being clutch and winning the immunities. She even said tonight, I don't need to make fire to prove that I should win this game. That shows how strong she played. And she went up there against one of the best Final Tribal losing performances we've seen. I truly believe that. She acknowledged it. Jeff acknowledged it. Other players out there acknowledged how good Sam's performance was. She wins 7-1 anyway. Why? Because her game was that good, regardless of what Sam said. Sam would have had to come out there and said, I'm 59 years old. You right. all are like, that was the only way he was beating her.
Yeah, I do feel there's a lot of that here with Rachel because, and you kind of brought this up, she's not purely a physical player. Her social game was so good. And her her tribal council performances outside of Final Tribal and the votes leading up to Final Tribal are so good. Where if you're a jury member, you're like, this is a confident player who knows what she's doing, knows she's a threat, and she's taking the game to her own hands. And yeah, won a few challenges. But again, I think if you're sitting there, it's so hard not to root for Rachel. I don't know if you ever answered my question of like, maybe I didn't ask it correctly, but do you think there's a world in which the season is edited differently to build up Sam's game a little bit more, where we go into this final week and it's Sam versus Rachel and they both end up in Final Tribal Council and Sam has this amazing win? And look, the vote is still going to be 7-1, regardless of how you edit the show. But is there a story in there? Is there an edit available that's on the cutting room floor where we are not going into this finale or this part two of the finale so sure that it's Rachel and so sure that even if Sam's sitting there, that Sam really doesn't have a chance?
It's very interesting you ask that. And I saw somebody posted the confessional count and I can't find it now. Somebody had posted it on X and now it has gone missing and I can't find it. But I think Sam actually ended this season with more screen time than Rachel, both from a time perspective and from a confessional perspective. And so that does leave me wondering, like, how much more could they have done for Sam? Like, what would they have had to do?
Maybe there's not much more they could have done. And maybe this is the
Maybe he didn't have the game.
Maybe we got that version of Sam. You know, yeah. Maybe we saw an elevated version of Sam because he was the person to come in second place, and this is all they could do, and Sam's game wasn't that good. I mean, the 7-1 might lead us to believe that. So that could be the right answer. They actually did do that.
Yeah.
But even if that's the case, it really never felt close between these two, despite the compelling arguments that Sam was making and that Andy was making. I mean, it felt like when Andy got up and said that, it's like, whoa, really discrediting Rachel's game by saying how other winners have been viewed.
Mm-hmm. And here's Royal 17. Sam had 93, Rachel had 86. So I think what it came down to is Sam got the content, but the content wasn't there for the editors to actually have us believe that he was going to win this game over Rachel. Now, granted, there's a lot of people out there who thought Sam was going to win. Like I talk about, like you can go on X, you can go on Instagram, you can go on Reddit, and you will find people who are saying Sam has this locked up. But for me, it feels like from how much we've watched this and how closely we've watched this, from the moment that Rachel got the leave tribal council advantage, I said, okay, I really feel like this is her game. And that's just where it went. I mean, it's not what Sam did wrong, and he says it in his final tribal speech here. What Sam did wrong is he hyped up Rachel to hide behind her, but then never had the opportunity to get rid of her. And because he was never able to get rid of her, I don't think he was ever able to explain that to the producers to put into confessionals, and they were going to protect Rachel a little bit probably. And if you do start having Sam say, if I can get rid of Rachel, I got this in the bag, but if I don't get rid of her, I'm going to lose. Well, there goes any drama from the final tribal council, because now everybody knows exactly where this stands going into that. So,
yeah. And I'm not looking at this strictly from a visibility and who got more confessionals. It's mm-hmm. more about kind of the content of them also. And it just felt like Rachel was such in a kind of power position, controlling threat. I mean, it's crazy, Phil. We have these alliances that split up at Final Eight. We have the underdogs versus the threats. And Rachel, who is supposedly the biggest threat of the season, is with the underdogs. Yeah. So it's almost everyone there was agreeing that Kyle, Genevieve, and Sam were bigger threats than the five, and that Rachel would just be the biggest threat of the five remaining. But, I mean, that was before her idol play. That was before she won four challenges. So, I mean, she really did turn into a threat at the right time. And that's how it goes. You can't let a threat like that get to the end.
We got Roy Jolly here with the super chat. I stand corrected. Rachel does not go out in fire. See, people were thinking she wasn't even going to get to the end. And if she doesn't get to the end, then Sam does clean up. I think we all saw that. I mean, I didn't mind Sue's final tribal council speech. It's just, I also think what's very interesting about this, and I always say with Survivor, you know, perception, 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 and how are you being perceived by others? I always said people wouldn't like the feeling of being overtaken by Andy. I think the problem with Sam was, as an athlete, as somebody who works in sports, you can be 6'4" and ripped out of your mind, and you can be an underdog. And I know that, you know that, a lot of athletes would know that, people who follow sports would know that. But when you get out there on the beach for Survivor, you look at somebody like Sam and you don't see an underdog. You see a top dog. So when that person ends up being the underdog, and now he's trying to pitch himself as the underdog against Rachel, who came into this game an alternate for season 46, doesn't make the cut, is on the island, doesn't get on the cast, comes out for 47, plays the game, looks a little bit nerdy, is old, air quotes, by Survivor standards. I think she's a year older than me. It's like you're looking at Rachel saying, that's the underdog. We started this episode with Blake ripping her for being a graphic designer. What a horrible person. I don't think his speech of I'm an underdog was going to work to a jury that was full with a lot of people who have been underdogs in their entire lives. And they're looking at Sam saying, dude, you got this pretty put together. You just didn't play to your strengths in this game, whether that's your fault or not. We're not going to give you the vote.
Yeah, and Captain Obvious, I was just about to say this, this to an extent. He says here, Andy became more of a threat than Sam after Operation Italy. And I think that hurt Sam in a lot of ways, was basically him being the last person of his alliance left. Mm. And great, you made it to Final Three. You're the last one remaining on your side of the game. But there's a reason why you were the last one left. There's a reason why Andy went out instead of you when Genevieve was immune. There was a reason when it was between Genevieve and Sam, why Genevieve was targeted instead of Sam. Mm-hmm. And because those two players went out, it's almost saying these are the people we're afraid of. These are the threats. Sam, you aren't one. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of tough to argue that back. It also felt that Final Tribal Council was pretty truncated. I don't know if you got that vibe. It felt shorter than most that we've had.
I think it's because of the short episode.
Yeah, I think so.
The after show is only 20 minutes long with two commercial breaks.
Yeah, it felt pretty short. And I wonder if Rachel made that explicitly clear to the jury. Hey, I took out Andy before I took out Sam because Andy was more threatening to me. Genevieve was way more threatening. Sam, you weren't threatening to me because you haven't done anything. Mm-hmm.
I want to throw this up too. Where is this? Bar says Phil had a good take. Someone mark this for the record. I appreciate that. We will mark it down.
What take? When was this?
This was when I was talking about Sam right here. This is in the same conversation that we're currently having. But it is true, right? We saw Sandra win this game over Russell, despite Russell making the argument, all Sandra wanted to do was vote me out and she couldn't do it. So how good of a player is she really? And people said, well, she didn't need to take you out because you weren't playing that good of a game. She played a better game than you. That wasn't the case for Sam. And it mm-hmm. was the case for Rachel. While Rachel was Sam's biggest target because he knew he couldn't beat her, Rachel was not worried about Sam at all. Rachel was so unbothered by Sam's presence that she won immunity and said, I'll still give you the ability to make fire and save yourself and give you another notch. And I'll still beat you anyway. That's how unbothered I am. I don't need to beat you in fire to win this game. I think that says a lot.
She did a great job at that Final Four Tribal Council just saying there's no reason why I need to win a challenge because I won a challenge already and mm-hmm. I played a great game. And yeah, Sam, go do it. Who cares if you're in?
Yeah,
it's kind of a power move. I wonder, do you think it helps her if she takes Sam into Final Three?
I don't think it would have made a difference.
I mean, it probably doesn't matter.
Anyway, yeah.
I mean, she probably wins same vote, 7-1.
Yeah, I think she wins anyway.
It is nice to see, though, that a jury did not overreact to fire making.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing for the show overall.
Exactly. And she actually says it best because she says it almost with an eye roll, right? She says, that would prove, I don't know, whatever that would prove. She plays it off as like, this is so unimportant. If this is what you're going to vote based on, that's on you. That's not on me. You know, like, and so I do appreciate that. And I feel like for as good as Sam's was, this was when all the evidence is against you. You're guilty as hell. You know, you can see your lawyer can be as good as they want. And they can say this, that, that. The other side who has the info can just point to the one or two things. And that's all they have to do. And that's what Rachel did. She pointed to the one or two things and said, no, it doesn't matter. Like, Sam, you can say all of that, but it does not matter. And Sam can win fire. It doesn't matter. Also, if Sam and Teenie switch spots, Teenie wins fire. Like, Teenie made a better fire than Sam. Hers just kept blowing over. And I don't know, is she not allowed to stand up and block the wind?
That was weird, huh? Because the wind was, it seemed like it was blowing Teenie's, but wasn't blowing Sam's, which is weird.
Not as hard, at least, because it was coming in from the
side. And didn't one season, and I forget what it was, I want to say in the 30s at some point, that they did fire making inside the voting booth because it was so windy. Mm-hmm. And I wonder,
is that right.
David versus Goliath, I want to say, is my guess, but I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I wonder, that's probably...
No, you know what? It was Edge of Extinction. Wasn't it Devins versus Underwood?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yep. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, they probably should have done that for this one. And they're probably, I'm sure a lot of people online are not happy about it. I'm sure Jeff knows that it was completely unfair what happened. I wonder if they build some sort of fire-making booth now to bring out. Because going all the way up to the voting booth is kind of weird and annoying. Yeah. You kind of want to have them out in front of everybody. But that was definitely unfair. Like, Teenie should have been in the final three. But probably better for Teenie that she doesn't get to the final three and that she, you know, she can, like she said, I'll never know if I would have gotten the votes. She probably knows now she was not going to beat Rachel.
No.
And she probably doesn't get Kyle's vote. It's probably 8-0. It's probably a unanimous win.
I think so. It would have been the first unanimous win of the new era, unless in that case somebody does throw a second place vote to Sue or Taney, which I could see happening.
Yeah, maybe Caroline throws a vote towards Sue, but I mean, she didn't hear. We saw Sue in the final three with Caroline and Rachel there. I don't think Taney being there would have changed anything, unless it appeared to be less of a horse race. If it's Taney versus Rachel versus Sue, and you know, Sam's presence being there required Caroline to actually throw a vote on Rachel. I don't know.
No, it looked like she was happy to be voting for Rachel. Honestly, like she.
No, she. It makes sense. She clocked Rachel as a threat so early. She compared her game to Rachel. We talked about this in the prediction. It was going to be very surprising if Caroline did not cast a vote for Rachel.
Yeah. Are you? Obviously, we don't think it makes a difference at the end. But how do you feel about the fact that Taney does feel like she got a little robbed here of at least getting to pitch at Final Tribal? Like, do you feel that? Or are you saying it's Survivor, it's bad luck, get up and block the fire if you or the wind if you need to? Like, how do you feel about that?
I think this would be more controversial if Taney was someone that could win the game. To me, at least, and I think to most people watching, Taney was never going to be the winner of this season. So it doesn't really hit me all that hard. It should be fixed. It should be addressed. But Survivor is a lot of luck. That's part of the game anyway. They got to choose their spaces. Like you said, she could have stood up and blocked the win. But that was unfair. There's no other way to say you can't really make the argument that it wasn't unfair. You can make the argument that it is luck and random. Weather patterns are extremely random. They even have random number generators based on weather patterns that are the most, because it's the most random thing possible. Like if you go to any website or like a random number generator, it's like pick a number between 1 and 10, and they just have a random number generator coded in the background to pick out a number between 1 and 10. And it will do that. And it's just code that randomizes, but because it's like coded, it's not like truly random because there's not like any random variance or something. So if you go to like, I think what the website, maybe random.org,
I think
forget what it is.
Yeah.
They use like weather patterns or lightning or some weird weather thing that is just truly so random that it can't be hacked, it can't be measured or predicted in any way, and it's truly more random. So like the weather's random, that's gonna happen. So I can't feel like too bad. It should be fixed though.
Yeah, I know. I wonder if we'll see them put up like a barrier on the side or something moving forward. I feel like there will be something, but like you said, I mean, it is random. I do agree with you. If it felt like if this was Jesse, if this is how Jesse lost back in 43.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, the internet would have exploded. It would have been horrible. And I, you know, look, Taney had no control over anything here, but obviously the edit can control a little bit too of like, no, she had no chance. Trust us. Like there was nothing there. I don't think she did have a chance, but you just never know. You never know with that kind of thing.
Yeah. But it's almost better that this happened to Taney. Because now they know that this can happen and that it looked so bad and looked so unfair and was so blatantly like Taney was so disadvantaged with her positioning there that they can amend for it. So that if it is a situation like a Jesse playing for his, you know, basically $1 million, that cannot happen. Cannot have that happen again.
Yeah.
So what about here? I see a comment from James Barber. Can we talk about how horrible that final challenge was? Maybe the worst final challenge ever. So I have a theory on this. I'm probably 95% sure this is what happened. That was supposed to be the final five immunity challenge. And then they got word from CBS about this two-part finale. And something you'll notice with all finales, at least the, you know, the last episode of the season, when it starts with five people or six people, that's usually the biggest challenge of the season in terms of like scope and build. They don't start with a, you know, dinky little small challenge. Because some of these final mini challenges are kind of dinky, and not dinky in a bad way, but they're intricate, they're intimate, they require focus, and they're just not as grand and big as a huge obstacle course. with like huge ladders and gates falling over. That's kind of the visual, your big climax before you get into like the real intimate part of like a final immunity challenge. The challenge last week at Final Five, I believe that was supposed to be the Final Four immunity challenge. And we have seen that be the final immunity challenge. I believe last time we saw it was in Ghost Island as the Final Four immunity challenge. Maybe we've seen it since then. Maybe in 45, did they do something like that? We also have seen a version of this.
What was last week's challenge again?
Last week's, it's wobbly platform with the spring, and you have to put the bowl and the ball and the bowl and the ball.
Oh, yeah, that probably was supposed to be it. Yeah.
And then we've seen a version like that, I think Millennials versus Gen X season 33. Are they balanced like
China or something?
You have to go up the rig and put it on top. Very, very similar. And that's usually, those are the types of challenges where you're like stacking something or balancing something. You know, we've seen it so many times with, you know, stacking the letters across, or the final three on the rocking boat and Edge of Extinction. Like, those stacking games are very much a final immunity challenge because it doesn't require any specific skill, really. It's like anybody can do it. You just got to lock in and be focused. So I think Survivor got word that they need to split their finale into two sections. They're going to have 2 weeks of finales, and that they're going to have 2 hours and 2 hours. And the way it shakes out is they needed to have a big challenge in this final episode. You can't just have your big finale have this small little stacking balls challenge. And so they switched the Final Four and Final Five immunity challenges. I really think that's what happened. And that's why we got kind of a more classic obstacle course to a puzzle than we haven't really seen a challenge like this be the final mini challenge. I don't know.
I mean, this was a very basic do something, do a puzzle, that's it. And we've seen, the other thing that kind of bothered me is we've seen the bat puzzle before. This wasn't even a new puzzle.
Yeah, no. Bat puzzle's been there. So.
You know, so I feel like even like if they're going to do a puzzle as the last port, as like the last immunity challenge, they generally make it at least a new puzzle. So I could see people being mad about this. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't put much stock.
Rachel,
I mean,
won both of them, so it doesn't, yeah, it really doesn't matter.
Right? Like, yeah, she won both. She was going to win both. Honestly, the person who was closest to her was Genevieve anyway, and she beat Genevieve.
Well, she, yeah, but who knows? But
how Genevieve was out, I mean. Like, I'm saying, so Genevieve wouldn't have even been there.
How Genevieve would have fared in the final five on this obstacle course version.
That's true.
It's probably the only thing you could say. But hey, I mean, it's a TV show. CBS has its request. So that's how it goes.
You got to do what you got to do. I mean, and it is a little disappointing after Ben's was so epic last season. Like that immunity challenge.
That was such an awesome. Cool. I love that. I love that challenge. That was so good. Just a big version of the one we saw in Millennials versus Gen X. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. So it is kind of a bummer that we don't get that again.
Yeah, because usually they're pretty epic, and I know people are sick of Samotion, but Samotion is such a great challenge. Again, it's one that anybody can do. We didn't get that.
Yeah. What else do you want to talk about here though? Because like obviously there's the challenge, and there's, you know, Rachel winning all of her stuff and everything. And right now what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to find, there was a super chat that came through, and now I'm trying to find, it was $4.99, but it was like, can you make this announcement? Because they were talking about a game, and I cannot find the actual chat, the comment that they put.
I see the chat, but now there's no comment associated with it.
The comment came in earlier, supposedly, is what I'm hearing. So I'm just trying to find it, but I cannot find it from, if you see Nicola, let me know. So where do you want to jump to next?
I don't know. Do you want to, like, what are your thoughts overall on season 47? We're kind of putting, there's not a whole lot to break down like we usually do for finales, because we just had one challenge, one fire mate. There was not even a vote tonight other than voting for the winner. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's, how do we view 47 as a whole? Is it the best season of the new era?
No, I don't think really? So. I don't Surprise. Think so. I don't think so. I think that it's, I guess what it's going to come down to, I've only watched everyone from the new era once. So I need to go back and I need to rewatch, because a lot of times it is the second time when you know what's going to happen, you start to feel better and all of that. 46 had a run with the non-idol players that I thought was awesome. And Kenzie versus Charlie truly felt up in the air to me the entire time. So that for me makes it so that 46 could be better than this. However, this felt like purer Survivor, right? And I still love 43. I know people hate 43.
I love 43 too. I was going to say it's between 43 and 47 for me.
See, for me, it's those three, and it really comes down to what would I rather watch? And I guess I have to go back and rewatch 43. 46 was solid. 47 here. 45 was good, but 45, I think, with the excitement and the craziness that went on in 46 and 47, it's kind of hard. And I do think we talked about, you know, how great it was with 45, or with the last two episodes of this show, with Operation Italy and then last week. The biggest problem right now, and it's still going to be fresh in my mind, is I already feel like I just watched this, and now I'm just podcasting at 10:38. Like, I already knew every single thing that was going to happen in this episode tonight. And so I'm not knocking the season for that, but I don't have that excitement coming out of this. Like, last season, we're coming out of this going, how the hell did Maria vote for Kenzie? What is going on? Like, the conversation around Kenzie versus Charlie, that close vote at the end, I thought that was just awesome. And I'm not saying that this isn't an awesome season. Rachel and Sam fought it out until the end. I think I just don't have that level of excitement. So the recency bias isn't kicking in as hard as it was for 43 or for 46. But that being said, those three seasons are a notch above. 45 is in the middle, and then 44, 42, and 41 are definitely the bottom tier of the new era, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm trying to not lean too heavily into recency bias, but I think this is my favorite season of the new era. Just because I think, I've said this a bunch, when I judge a season or judge really anything, I judge it more on its highs than its lows. What are its highest moments? Mm-hmm. And this season delivered a lot of high moments, a lot of really great episodes. So, even the Keyshawn boot, I know a lot of people forget it now, but that's people are kind of saying, you know, that's widely regarded as the best pre-merge episode of the new era. So this season has that. And then you have Operation Italy, followed by that 2 hours after it. That was so much fun. That those three episodes, those, what is that? Nine, three. It's like 5 hours of this season being that good on top of its game, so high. Hard for a season to top it. You know, I always had 43 as my favorite of the new era, basically because of Telenovela, the episode where Jesse gets rid of Cody and how great that was. And then also going into Final Tribal Council, having no idea who's going to win, being like, wait, is it Cassie? Is it Gabler? Is Owen going to have a story here? That thrill is so much fun. But this season, to me, despite kind of stumbling to the finish with an obvious Rachel win, the highs of this season were higher than any other new era season. So I'm going to say 47 is my favorite season of the new era.
Yeah, I mean, 47 was high. I mean, I had 43, and this is obviously a knee-jerk reaction. I had 43 ranked 17 all time, dude. Like, I love 43. And now, granted, we're going through. We're doing Every Season Matters. We've recorded a bunch of Cook Islands. We all know where that lands. Like, will 43 still rank there after I watch every season?
It's pretty good. I rewatched it. It's pretty good.
I mean, it might. It might still land there. But the one thing I do know for certain is this is better than 42. It's better than 44. It's right now, if I rewatch all of them again, I feel like this probably will come out on top. But for now, I will still give the edge to 43, although I may have said at the end of last season it was 46. I will say there's a lot of ugliness around 46 that has continued and permeated throughout that season ending and now into this season, that I can love Gabon, because I don't know anybody from Gabon, and I never dealt with anybody from, I guess I know Karim, but like, I've never dealt with anybody from Gabon, and like, I didn't have to talk about Gabon and all that. And I do feel like 46 just had so much negativity, and like, a lot of the players just have not let it go. And I think that's a shame. And honestly, that does impact my enjoyment of a season if I don't really love, like, I don't know. Like, if you all aren't fun afterwards, that can make it hard. I don't know. That's just how I view it, because I do have to sit here and talk about it. And a lot of these seasons start to blend into each other. Whereas 43, like, it's a fun cast, and they are like excited about everything. They are that whole cast loves Survivor still. Like, every one of them. You go to the Houston event, Cassidy's there. You go to the New Orleans event, Owen is there. Gabler flew from Idaho to go to that event. Like, people show up. And I just think, like, 43 was a lot of gamers and a crazy unpredictable season, and that's awesome. 46 was fun to watch because it was chaos, but 47 might have been the most authentic version of Survivor we've seen in a very long time.
Yeah. I feel confident that 47 is my favorite. Okay. Probably 43 next. And then between 45 and 46, the problem with 45 was that it was kind of dominated by a majority alliance, which we really don't see.
So yeah.
And it wasn't bad, but it was like, you know, so many plans were. Felt like every week there was some plan to upend that power of the Reba Four, and it always fell through, and that was kind of frustrating. So probably 46, then 45. Yeah.
All right, 40, let me get
41 and 42, bottom of the barrel.
I mean, 41 is so far down.
And 44, I think, was so overrated when
it 44 was has dropped significantly for me since watching. That's a cast where once you get past the Tika 3, you're kind of like, that what? Cast, what happened? Like, you know. Franny and Matt, okay. Heidi has a good run at the end. Danny's okay. But, like, there's really not a lot there. I'm just going to jump in here. We got some super chats. I finally found the one from Nicola. Nicola is hosting a online Survivor game, sent in $4.99. So if you want to play, it's free to play. Winner gets a prize. Message Nicola on Instagram at Nikola host, host.ig. So there you go. That was the first super chat. So I wanted to throw that one in there. The next one, Shane Cup. Season was good, but would have been better with a pure merge and a pure tribe swap instead of a fake merge and a fake tribe swap. What do you think about that?
I'm trying to... The merge was not really a fake merge. It was just...
I get what he's saying there. Like
I'm trying to remember. We've had so many weird merges in the new era, and Jeff keeps trying to tweak it. So I kind of forget what iteration we're on. I think
Rome wasn't on a tribe, and then they split right after, and that's when Tiana's whole tribe goes.
Right, we split right after, but we did have a vote where everybody was vulnerable except just one person. It was a normal vote at 13, I believe. And then the tribe swap. What was the fake tribe swap?
The fake thing. So after they said we have merged, then they split into two tribes, and that was when Tiana went home, and it should have been Rachel because half of them were immune.
I don't know if that to me is not a tribe swap. So that's why I mean, or maybe this was
merge,
or maybe it was a fake. Maybe the fake tribe swap is what is he referring to the Social Hour episode where they had three tribes, they went to two just to compete for a reward. Mm-hmm. Was that the fake tribe swap?
No, I'm pretty sure.
That sounds like more of a fake tribe swap than
yeah.
when we split into two, because we've been doing that. That's part of the format now.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's just so weird. I don't think that stuff doesn't really bother me because, like you said, like it is so a part of it that it's just like, whatever. I'm just going to shrug my shoulders. And then we got St. Cliffo. Seasons ending in 7 are pretty good. # like and subscribe.
Thank you, St. Cliffo.
Yes, I know. $20 here. Love to get that. Thank you so much. What is it with these seasons that end in 7? So we have, here's the 7s for everybody who's listening at home and can't put them in order the way our poor sweet Hunter couldn't. Pearl Islands, Gabon, Blood versus Water, David versus Goliath, and now Survivor 47. I mean, is that the best number of Survivor seasons?
Definitely. Definitely. Hands down. And it's mainly because it has a couple very high highs. It has Pearl Islands and Gabon, but there's also no bad season of the bunch. And I think every other number would at least have one season where you're like, well, that kind of, you know, ruins the bunch.
It, as of my latest ranking, and this was before you and Blake and I started doing everything, I had all 4 of the 7 seasons in my top 15. And I just said I had 43 at 17. So there's a chance that 47, if I do like it more than 43, could be higher than that. And they could all be in my top 15.
I'm trying to wait. So you have Blood versus Water in your top 15. That's the one to me that is the weakest, but is still a very solid season of Survivor.
I feel like Blood versus Water, the thing that I loved so much about that season is the dynamic they actually got from the players and the loved ones, and like players I wasn't expecting, like Aris. Like, I didn't really care that much for Aris on Panama, but him and Vetus I thought was awesome. Sierra obviously was great. Brad Culpepper gets introduced. Honestly, John Cody is phenomenal. Caleb was great. I feel like they did a really great job with casting that, and I feel like they got a good level of drama. And I feel like Tyson, Jervis, Monica going up against Hayden, Katie, and Sierra was like, it's like an all-time great Survivor moment that really doesn't get talked about all that much. Like, that final six is so incredible. So I really loved the first Blood versus Water. And yeah, I mean, all of those seasons are great in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Seven's a good number. What would be the second place digit?
The second placed eight.
All-Stars.
Yeah, that's true.
I love All-Stars.
I was thinking Token, Chien's, Kagayan, just those two alone would make it. But then you have Edge of Extinction and you have All-Stars, which are both whatever.
Mm-hmm. 48 would need to be pretty good.
Yeah.
To put it up there. What about Zero? Palau, Heroes vs. Villains, Worlds Apart, Winners of War?
Worlds Apart kind of takes that down, and it's only four seasons, right?
Yeah, you only have four seasons there.
Yeah. You'd have to avoid one. You have to avoid one, two, and four, because you have to avoid Nicaragua, Redemption Island, and One World. You can't have those in there and Smile. And you can't put five because you can't have Thailand in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't have that. So it's really maybe six, but then you have the second iteration of Fans versus Favorites.
Which I don't think is that bad. I think that's actually a fun season. Like, what about Malcolm's World? Double what about Idol play? Thailand? What's that?
What about Ghost Island?
Ghost Island would be the weakest of that group.
Yeah.
Because you would get Fans versus Favorites and Amazon. That's pretty good. And then 46 is pretty good. And then Ghost Island. And yeah. I think Fans versus Favorites 2 is one of the most hated on seasons for no reason. I actually think it's a pretty fun watch. Like that,
yeah,
that season you can really enjoy.
People were mad because there was no
six is the
they were just mad about the casting of the fans, and Brandon Hance being on just like rubbed people so the wrong way. Like, that was really where that gets such a bad rap, because Brandon Hance's blow up really screwed things up. People are saying three, but I don't know. We just watched Cook Islands. Cook Islands is okay. South
Pacific, Africa is to me like
I love weakest, Africa, but I know that I'm nostalgia based on that.
Yeah, it's totally nostalgia. It's definitely the weakest of that, like, first besides Thailand of the first 10. I think I have Africa the second worst out of the first 10.
Yeah, seasons. And then South Pacific is meh. Worlds Apart is Millennials vs. Gen X is great. 43 is great. So maybe it is three, but I mean, there's one weak season and one okay, two okay. I mean, I love Africa, but I know that that's my opinion.
Okay, what about nine? That's the only
Island of the Idols yet. Is the big one.
That's the only one though, right?
Yeah, because it's Vanuatu, which is incredible.
Vanuatu is good. Samoa is great.
San Juan del Sur is so underrated. San Juan del Sur is
fun.
Yeah. Maybe at this point, San Juan del Sur has become overrated because people keep saying it's underrated.
Yeah, it was just too predictable when it was airing.
Yeah.
It's a fun season, but man, talk about knowing Natalie is going to win. You knew that way more than you'd known Rachel's.
Yeah, as soon as Josh and Jeremy went home back-to-back, it was like, oh, my God, that's over. Yeah,
at least Andy and Genevieve went out in the penultimate episode.
Yeah, I know. At least it wasn't final 11 and 10 or whatever that was on that season. I don't know. Yeah, seven is the strongest. I'd say six is probably the second strongest.
Yeah, seven for sure.
Yeah, and it's not close.
It's not close.
No, it's not.
We're not even talking about this finale anymore. We're like,
we're not. We're just rambling. You know what? They're talking about how they're all super fans. Well, this is what you want to be hearing. Now you're a part of the best digit of Survivors. Seven. Good job.
Several.
Dude, I mean, we're just going to keep going here. My God. Anyway, let me jump over here. So where does Sam rank for you as a runner up?
Oh, let me check my list of runner-ups.
You don't have to have that.
I got him at the 12th best runner-up.
Would you say he's a very good runner-up? Would you say he's an okay runner-up? Would you say he's a weaker runner-up? Like, we obviously just had two very solid – Austin and Charlie lose 5-3 against really solid players. Mike Turner lost 7-1, but he just got beat by somebody with a great final tribal. Where are you putting – Sam here? Like, is he an upper echelon? Is he like an Aussie level? Is he a mid tier? Is he a low tier? Like, where are you going?
I mean, it depends what we're basing it on. If it's basing it on their final tribal council performance, I would say that Sam is a very, very solid runner-up in terms of how he performed at final tribal council. But if we're just comparing games, like, I would rank Mike Turner's game above Sam's game, but I would rank Sam's final tribal council way, way higher than Mike's final tribal council. Mike had one of the worst final tribal council performances. Yeah. So it depends which kind of metric you're looking at. Overall,
I would just say
his overall game is pretty middling, and I think that is made kind of obvious by what we saw. They should have built him up to make this more exciting. It seems like they couldn't, and that he only got one vote is pretty evident. I think he's certainly a capable survivor player, but it's not like you have people clamoring that Sam deserved to win. I don't think, at least I don't feel that way. I haven't seen it in the chat. You know, a lot of seasons end and people go, the jury got it wrong. The jury got it wrong. I am not seeing any evidence of people saying that. So when you don't see that, you're definitely not in the top tier of runner-ups. I mean, we can name how many people that have lost this game and people are up in arms about it. So,
oh yeah.
I mean, last season it happened.
Yeah. Charlie, Dom. I mean, those are just two that pop up to mind immediately.
Aubrey.
No, that's not true though. That one's just a lie. I mean, that's just people being so incorrect. It's insane. I think that what's fun about Sam is if Sam could ever get on the right side of things, Sam could be somebody who could win a Survivor season.
Oh, absolutely. He has everything. Yeah, he's very capable. The game just did not shake out in his way. He never had a chance to take out Rachel. And that was kind of it.
Yeah, that was it. No, I know.
No, so he's got if he came back, he could win. This is, and I remember when we did our new era player rankings, and we had very different rankings, and you kind of base it off their placement and how they did on their season. And how I would rank players was how likely are they to win any given Survivor season that they play. And Sam would be pretty high up on that. And Rachel would be too. I mean, Rachel is someone who's probably going to have very high winner upside in any season she's on. Mm-hmm. And again, this is a hypothetical of everybody is a newbie player. It's not like Rachel's coming back to return. This is like on any given all newbie season, what are your winning chances? And Rachel's, I think, would be quite high.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And so, yeah, I feel like Sam has potential. Rachel playing again, honestly, she could probably pull a Tony or a Sandra. Like, I really believe that. I think really any of the last three, I think the last two winners, I don't think D could, because people would be like, oh shit, D's scary. Let's jump to a different thing, because obviously we all know 50 is on its way. We just got the 48 preview. Jesse Tenenbaum said that 49 is going to be casting into the third week of January. So if you want to apply, you still got time to do so. I might actually send in a tape for once and just say my theory that the short women with really good strategic sense are the most dangerous people, because now we've seen three of them win in a row. The new era is loaded with them. Five of those winners, like, I'm terrified of that archetype, but we know 50's coming. If they're looking at people from this season, going all the way back to the Keyshawns and the Romes and all of this, who are the three people that you would want? Like, if three of them had a shot to get on, who would you be looking at? Because I think this cast is loaded.
Genevieve, number one. Mm-hmm.
It's hard. This cast is ridiculously loaded from top to
bottom. I kind of think not.
Really?
If I only, like, and I've said this before with Andy, I think Andy's story is so centric to this season, where if he's on another season, I don't know if he's going to be able to bring the same heat and have as much intrigue and juice around him.
I think he is.
No, Andy's going to play again. I'm just saying, I don't really need to see Andy play. I think he had a great story here. Like, he had such a bad day three, terrible start, and then becomes a huge threat, pulls off a huge move, all that. I don't know if I need to see him. I know Rome was huge and Rome was fun, but Rome's, you know, he's going to eat up a lot of screen time. When Rome's there, you're going to know Rome's there. And on a returning player season, I don't know if I want Rome eating up all that screen time, though it is entertaining. I think it's more entertaining on an all newbie season like this with 90 minutes than if we have like 24 or 30 to 30. If we are going to increase the cast size of like these players we're dying to see return, I don't know if I need to see Rome again. I don't know if anyone else pre-merge really stuck out. I mean, Keyshawn seemed like a strategic player. I don't know if I need to see him again. Maybe the only other person I would go, maybe Saul, number two, actually.
I think Saul would be great.
I think Saul is someone I can see more of. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Rachel, I think Rachel got her win. I don't really need to see her play again. Caroline, I thought she played a phenomenal game. I don't know if it was the most entertaining. I think she's a very solid player. I think very underrated as a player. Gabe didn't do all that much. Kyle, you pretty much get from Kyle what you're going to get. Like, we're not going to get anything new from Kyle.
Yeah. I feel like Gabe, Saul, like, and I'm just throwing out names. Gabe, Saul, Genevieve, Andy, Sam, and Rome, I think would probably, like, that's a third of the cast. And I mean, honestly, you know, if they had winners, Rachel would be somebody they would call. I mean, you think there's any shot Teeny would ever get a call again, Will, or is that ship sailed?
No, she could. I think she absolutely could. It seems like Jeff is really thrilled with Teeny. Mm-hmm. So that can absolutely happen. I don't think I need to see. I mean, again, I would say, like, out of this season, I would pick Genevieve. That would be kind of it.
I think Genevieve and Saul would be.
Genevieve and Saul. Saul would be number two. And then I'm even thinking of, like, last season, you know, who are the obvious people? I think Q is one. Mm. Charlie might be another for a redemption story because he lost. Is anyone else jumping out from 46? Jelinski, maybe, honestly.
Honestly, Jelinski could play again for sure.
Going back 45, I remember Jake being like, I need to see Jake play again. I need to see him on a season where he can do something.
Yeah.
Emily, you know. I don't know if there's – once these seasons kind of hit the rear view, we're looking back on them, I think fewer and fewer people stand out. But this one, to me especially, it's not like – I don't feel the same way as you, where I'm seeing like six or seven returning players.
I think that this season has a lot of players with potential. I think a lot of players who might have had good ideas and might have done decent things on this season who could actually like wake up. Yeah, Caleb, people are saying in here, like, come on.
I picked Caleb as my – we did this. We did a who's going to win season 50. And then I was like, well, darn. First, we have to pick – just think of who's the most likely to be on season 50. And Caleb was my winner pick. I don't know when we did that, but it was some.
I think that was when we did it with James, wasn't it? With James Wallington?
Maybe. I forget. But who did you remember who you picked for your winner?
I don't. I got to go look.
Your 50s we winner say pick?
Bullshit so often. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think Andy, Rome, Sam, Saul, Gabe. You know, Genevieve for sure. And I think Teeny is a legitimate shot. I really do.
I think there's a lot of players that have shots. I'm just saying, me personally, how many people do I need to see play again? I don't know.
If we all get Genevieve, we're all happy.
I just want to see Genevieve play again.
That's it. I think that's where we all stand. If we all get Genevieve, we all get happy.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do a quick thing, and we're not totally done yet, but I just want to get these out of the way because I actually do have scores. So for our prop bet game, the winner is AJCZYK. I don't know what that means, but that's you. Send us an email, survivorspecialist@gmail.com, or I'll shoot you an email. I do have your email here, but if you want to shoot us an email, either way, you win. You're going to be the one, because it's a prop bet game, you're going to be the one who wins the Pop Funko from Todd Herzog. So you'll get to pick which one you want. You scored 23 points, beat Math Maria by one. And then for the over under game, and this is why we do tiebreakers, friends, nobody even hit half of the over unders, Will.
Whoa.
But the winner ends up being Matt 007. 9 points, was tied with M Barrichello, but won it on the first tiebreaker due to the number of backstory montages by picking a lower number, because there were only four backstory montages on this season from my count. And maybe you could argue that there were five, but there certainly weren't more than five. I got that. And that's it. So those are our two winners.
It's crazy that nobody got over
Nobody got double figures. 10. Nope.
Or 10, even 10. That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
And
that
we did.
That means we set the lines really, like, none of them were too easy.
No. And the thing was, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, there were 7 overs, 13 unders. So we were off by 3. Like, that's not terrible. Like, I mean, that's like, I feel like a pretty typical standard deviation. Like, you're not going to go 10 and 10 on over unders.
No, I think that's about right.
That's about right. So yeah, that's where we're at there. Anyway. So yeah, you guys are the winners, and for winning the over under game, you're going to be getting a prize from Russell Muscle TV from Idle Plays. He's going to be putting together a puzzle. I got to reach out to him and see if it's one that you're going to get to pick or otherwise. And then in terms of the other games, I don't know if Real TV Fantasy actually put up the scores yet. I know those normally come out in the morning. So for the patrons, you might have to wait until we wake up tomorrow and I do my after show to find out. But I do know one thing. I won the fantasy game.
Whoa.
I won the fantasy game, kids. Me, by myself, having to pick against Will and Blake, not even getting to pick my own things. I won by over 300 points and had Rachel as the winner. It's crazy. It's crazy. Patting myself on the back here. So we're waiting on the final scores there for those two, though, the power rankings and the fantasy game. But I will announce those on the after show tomorrow. Somebody says it was rigged. I wish. I was just that good this year. I don't know what happened with everybody else. Overall, very, very solid season. Very, very solid season. What did you think of the preview for 48?
I don't know. Seems like another new era Survivor season.
It didn't seem that exciting, huh? I didn't feel much for it. I mean, we didn't have Asia popping up on screen for people to go, holy shit, it's Asia.
I mean, it looks like it's the same. We'll just have to see how it is, because they're not doing anything different.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Depends what happens. Depends on the gameplay.
Yeah. Last thing I want to put up, and because we haven't talked about her really at all, Sue's final tribal council performance. I actually thought it was pretty solid. And I just wanted to bring that up here because I know, like, the whole time I was saying, Sue's got no chance to win this. She's not going to win this. She's not going to win this. And I was right. She wasn't going to win it. But I feel like Sue's final tribal council performance was as good as it could have been for her. And I think her pitch was, look, I was 59. You guys didn't see that coming. Today is my birthday. Like, whatever. I tried to play the game the best I could. I was loyal. I tried to play with loyalty. And you know what? That didn't work for this jury. And that's fine. She needed to do a little bit more. But I still felt like she made the argument that she needed to make. And she actually did gain some respect there, right? It's kind of like in, oh my God, what is it? Edge of Extinction. Like, Julie Rosenberg has a good final tribal. But nobody was going to vote for Julie the second she walked in. Like, they already knew that it was between Chris and Gavin. I feel like that's how tonight was. But I feel like Sue's final tribal was pretty solid for what it was. And I do feel like it might have been one of the best performances for a third place zero vote finalist in the new era. Because a lot of the other ones, it was just like, yeah, we have no shot. And I'm trying to explain a game that I really just can't even explain. Sue explained everything she did. She went in with a strategy. She played with that strategy. It just wasn't a winning strategy.
Yeah, she wasn't winning that one, but owned her game, was honest about it, and yeah, I think she's got some respect. So yeah, I think well done for Sue. I don't think it seemed clear that she wasn't trying to play a winning game on, so I don't think she thought she was going to win either.
Yeah,
I agree. I think she was really proud, and she should be, of how far she got, that she got that far.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, you have anything else?
That's it, I think. Come join us over on Patreon. We got a lot going on.
Yeah, come join us on Patreon. We're finishing up Cook Islands. Will and I will be putting out a rock draw on Christmas Day, although we won't be recording on Christmas Day, that's for certain. But we are literally doing episodes like almost every single day, at least 5 days a week, even into the off season. So we'll be getting into Fiji for anybody who wants to listen to us talk about Fiji. That's exciting. I'm about to finish up 2019 Australian Survivor. And then I was just like hanging out. I'm like, okay, we got a good off season coming up. Deal or No Deal Island starts January 7th and the Trader starts January 9th. It's like, all right, so now we got to jump in and we got to start doing those. I'm sure Blake will be jumping in for some of that stuff. It's not just going to be all me and Will. I don't think either one of us could handle it the way we did last season. I know I'm much busier than I was, but we will be covering, this channel will be covering both of those shows. And I plan on covering Australian Survivor or Australia versus the World, whichever one actually comes out first. So we're going to have plenty of stuff going on over here on the channel. Might be doing something a little bit different next week. I know I sent out a little message, but we'll see. So stay tuned. Follow us on social media, Instagram, X, TikTok. Will's looking at me funny, so that must have been one of the ones that he just,
I don't know what,
he just threw in the trash. He might have just thrown it in the trash, but that's okay. But anyway, yeah, we really appreciate all the support this season. It's awesome. Our last two recap episodes were some of the best episodes we've ever had on this channel. You actually got me you got me looking at the numbers compared to past seasons for the first time in a long time, because I was like, holy shit, our numbers are actually going back up. And like some of our best episodes since Winners at War, which is just awesome and so fun that that's happening for season 47. So good for this cast, good for the editors, good for production. You put out a product people really cared about, and people liked listening to us talk this year. So we got it all out, and it was awesome to see our numbers grow. Blake and I will be doing a Digging Deeper tomorrow. I'm sure I'll play the same clip for him, so he has to sit there and listen to himself be wrong like crazy. I love when he has to do that. But otherwise, like, yeah, just a good time. This was just a great season. We're now, I feel like we have three seasons in a row where I have looked forward to sitting down and talking about Survivor. And that just feels good. So thank you all for sticking with us. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. To those of you who won our games, I called you out. Either shoot me an email, survivorspecialists@gmail.com, or I'll shoot you an email in the coming days here, and we'll get you your prizes. Everybody else, thank you so much, and stay tuned for what's coming next. Like I said, Digging Deeper tomorrow, and then we got the Traders, and we got Deal or No Deal Island starting right after the new year. Will, good job, man. How'd you feel? That was pretty good.
Good. Good season. Yeah, I'm happy with it.
Good. All right, everybody. See you later.
See ya.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.